All right. Good morning. I see Leanne's gone to the loo again.
Yep.
We are in Bulgaria, Sofia, the capital of Bulgaria, doing a little trip here with our friends from TTS, Tourvest Travel Services. And you can find out all about the various destinations that they have available on travel.co.za. I don't know if this one's on there, but we're checking it out today. So we're like the recce team.
It is. We're betting it down for everyone else.
That's right. And Ben has some interesting observations about Bulgarian television for you in a moment or two, Leanne. So if you're curious, that's nice. Coming up. And then these are pictures. You will see I look grumpy in all the pictures because on purpose. Me stand next to a packet of chips. Okay. Very important. This is packet of chips in Central Square.
Not even the packet of chips costume has a little smiley face on it.
No, just corn.
And then this next to communist statue. I look grumpy on purpose. Then next to lion in park, look grumpy on purpose. Right? Very important. Big lion. Yeah. No, there's some very beautiful things here. And I'm very pleased I'm here now. I was kind of trying to figure out what was interesting about Bulgaria from a distance. But the amazing thing is, in the week before getting here, I spoke to about 10 people about Bulgaria. And some of them had been here on holiday just recently. Some of them are from here originally. So some very, very interesting connections. I don't know how many Bulgarians there are in South Africa overall, but there must be a few. Mm. They seem to be all over the place. Tell us about Bulgarian TV, Ben.
So I got back to my room last night because I wasn't going to have a late one, unlike everyone else that we're with. And I turned the TV on, and the first thing I see is like old communist movies. Which I thought is fair, right? Like, I don't know, they're SABC, like basically showing like old commie stuff. And then every channel, I eventually counted there was 70 channels on like the bouquet here. And every single one of them was dubbed into the local language. Everything. Obviously, you get to Sky News and that's the only difference. Otherwise, everything is in Bulgarian. So there's the action channel. Like, name the show, okay? I watched, there was a James Bond movie with Roger Moore in Bulgarian. There was an episode of Friends where everyone, and the dubbing is so bad because all they've done is they just turned it down a little bit. So you still hear the actual English the whole time. But then you'll get this like gruff Bulgarian on the top is like Phoebe shouting at Joey. And it was so much. But there was just all the kids, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, all dubbed into local language. Like the amount of money they should be spending on tourism, they're spending on to dubbing over TV channels.
Badly.
It was just relentless. Everything was dubbed. Everything.
All right. While we're on those kinds of things, I did see the promo in the break for On the Bounce, Ben's sports show. And we were talking with Superbet about the various... You've made some good calls in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so all the attention and the shine goes into Sandile being the Drake of sports betting, which actually is just being the Drake. So he's got a few wrong, but I was very excited about the North London Derby this last weekend. And to go into Superbets, they had these little special price boost kind of segments. And the one I suggested last week was pretty good because it was about Arsenal scoring first and then winning. So Arsenal beating Spurs yesterday 1-0. A nervy one for Arsenal fans, but that's what the season's going to be. So you've got to buckle up for this one. It is the season that they're going to win. Man City also win. Liverpool shockingly lost to Nottingham Forest, which is actually really, really embarrassing. Although, when you think about it, it's so competitive in this league right now. They just come back from international break. So some of the bigger teams maybe not had the focus. Man United did win, finally. They beat Southampton convincingly. Chelsea beat Bournemouth. I think there was 14 yellow cards in that match alone. So it was a very...
They're basically just kicking each other to death.
Just constantly kicking each other. So it was a very interesting sort of weekend in that. So Man City on top of the log, they've got a 2-point gap over Arsenal. Early days, of course. And then locally, there was a whole bunch of action because our best teams in the PSL, they haven't quite got kicking in the local tournament because they've been playing in the Cup, the CAF Confederations Cup and the CAF Champions League. So Sundowns and Pirates go after a winning start in the Champions League there. And then Sekhukhune unfortunately lost, but Stellenbosch won in the Confederations Cup. But the big news for that would be that this week we've got Sundowns taking on SuperSport United. That's tomorrow. So it'll be Sundowns' first chance to kind of show where they're at locally. But a big win in the Champions League, so maybe that whole blip in the MTN8 is just nothing more than a blip. probably the most exciting thing from the whole weekend of sports, and sadly I missed this because we got on the plane as the game finished, but the Bulls versus the Sharks in the Curry Cup. Now, we never see rugby games going to extra time. Like, it's a football thing, but every now and again it happens. So somehow the Sharks got into extra time against the Bulls with 12 people on the field. It was 33 all. Eventually it ended 40 all. And because the Sharks scored 6 tries to the Bulls' 4, they went through to the final. But one of the most amazing games, everyone I've spoken to about it, you go to extra time after extra time, still a stalemate. And Trevor Nyokani, the prop who ran like a center, scoring a try there. So they'll take on the Lions. The Lions, look, they're always going to beat the Cheetahs, but the Cheetahs are really
plucky. Hang on, they had extra time with extra time with extra time.
So you play your extra time, and then after that, it goes down to a countdown system. So it's so seldom that you see that. And the thing is, in Curry Cup rugby as well, where it's so free-flowing and high-scoring, it's not like you're going to see penalties being kicked here and there in increments of 3. The scores are very, like, varied. For it to be a draw is just incredible. So one of the best matches we've seen in Curry Cup history. And also, just a reminder, the Curry Cup is an actual, real, fantastic thing. And if we can cement the window that they've got now, so it doesn't conflict with the URC, which starts very soon, I really do think it's just something that we can be super, super proud of. And what it's doing for those next layers of talent is just incredible. And yeah, the URC does start, I think, the 20th, so it'll be next weekend. Curry Cup, of course, final this weekend will be the Lions versus the Sharks. Lions versus the Sharks. But the Lions are going to win because I think the Lions have been the strongest kind of team. They always have so many attacking threats, but you never know. Huh? Like, it's just, I love the fact that the Sharks have become this team. They're almost like the France of SA rugby. They've got good players. They're exciting. And those are the semis final this weekend. Another big thing for the weekend was the Formula One in Azerbaijan, the Baku Street Circuit. Now, Charles Leclerc, we said going into this week, he's had 3 poles at the circuits. He had a 4th one, but this poor guy cannot translate any of that into a win. It's just ridiculous how you could be that good. And the street circuit clearly works for him. And Ferrari couldn't have fucked it up all 4 years in a row. The guy's just not destined to win there. Oscar Piastri ended up winning, and it was a really tough weekend for Red Bull because Verstappen finished off the podium. Sergio Perez, who's the best, he loves that track so much. He actually crashed out with Carlos Sainz second to last lap. So now McLaren have now completely overtaken Red Bull in the Constructors' Championship. And I think it's only a matter of time until Lando or Piastri, although I think only Lando can catch him mathematically. But it's just going to be such an exciting end. I think there's 7 races left, and Formula One has never, ever been this exciting. And I think finally, the other big thing for the weekend was the USA women's golf team. They recaptured the Solheim Cup. So it's the first time since 2017.
All right. And then this question from Azalea. What is Ben's take on rumors that Italy and South Africa may be kicked out of the Rugby World Cup URC in favor of English clubs?
Yeah, Azalea, that's just a whole pile of bullshit. Only if Kamala Harris took over that part of the world's administration would that happen. Because SA is the future. Everyone hates the fact, and you get these really sour Irish and English people. But English Premiership, so many of those teams who run into the ground, terrible administration. Are they going to now fuck up Irish rugby as well as English rugby? SA is the future. Everyone hates to admit it, but they have to be our friends. Australia and New Zealand would take us back like lost lovers tomorrow. We are adding so much to rugby everywhere we go. And yes, we just happen to be better. And why bring Italy into this? Italy are catching strays out of their jealousy for us. It's really unfortunate. The URC is going to stay what it is unless somebody who's really malicious wants to ruin rugby.
All right. Very good. Leanne, you're a big Formula One fan. Did you watch it?
No. My love for Formula One died with my first marriage. I only got into it because, yeah, it was on all the time, and I enjoyed it while it was there. Yeah.
Well, we have some people who are not here on this trip with us now, but work for the same group, and they were in Azerbaijan at that, and they met Will Smith. Who else? There's somebody else there that was quite famous, but Lewis Hamilton, of course.
Yeah.
Kind of involved with Formula One. Yeah. They have a reason to be there. Anyway, so
Will
pictures
Smith
of
didn't
them.
Punch anyone, did he?
No. Will Smith was very well behaved.
Oh, good.
So, Kala, I didn't get to watch any of the UFC because I was in transit. look, that Merab Dvashvili, who's that small Georgian,
about him.
Like tyrant, like he's such, wow. I mean, he really is just so hard to fight against because he's so damn strong and tough. Look, I think Sean O'Malley will come back. I really thought that he would have had enough striking power to keep him at range, but clearly not. And five rounds, he got a decision. But the Soak was playing with him. He was kissing him on the back of the neck. He was taunting him. It seemed like quite a thing. I would love to see the highlights and how it worked out to that sphere. But yeah, I think that the Dvashvili guy, of course, he wasn't the champion because he didn't want to fight Aljamain Sterling, who was his best friend. So he was always in that mix. And I think people forget just how good that guy is. And he showed it. So yeah, he's the new champion of the bantamweight division.
All right. So from some sport and super bets this morning, of course, you can go and check them out at superbets.co.za. And you can also find all the links on the Real Networks page too, with all the important information, get some odds on those things. But we like to check in on a Monday. And this morning, Ben's actually here to do it with us in Bulgaria.
Sorry, guys. Just last point. Of course, the actual Champions League, the UEFA Champions League starts this week as well. So games from tomorrow. So that's another cool thing. Go to Superbets. Not only are you be able to play, but you get all the fixtures too. So you're getting like a bit of a preview and a kind of showcase of what's going to be on this week.
Slippery Pickle says, Will Smith would make a perfect pit girl. Can't be hard to get him in a dress. All right. Very good. Some nasty and snarky comments coming from the people in the comment section. But then that's part of the reason we do this. Love it. Leanne's got a billboard with a hidden message in it. You must explain this to us. Is there any kind of setup that you want before this?
You can just put the billboard up to start
this
with.
This one?
Yes. So wow. If you can describe what you can see there.
It's like it's about 9/10 sort of green, and it looks like it could have writing in it. And then at the bottom it says what?
See for yourself. I'm battling to read that, but I'll tell you what it's all about. So if you can see red writing in that, but like very, very clearly, then you have a certain kind of color blindness. So it's, you know, usually you see these boards or these you know, images, and only people who aren't colorblind can see what the thing is, it's, you know, being shown inside, but this is the other way around.
If you can't see any red writing, you don't have color blindness.
Yes, so it's made for people who are color blind.
Why would they do this? Are they trying to lead them down the garden path? Are they trying to make them go in the wrong direction? Is it like a public service announcement with nastiness attached?
No, definitely not.
No, you've just gone mute. Sorry, we've lost you, Leanne. You've gone mute. Just try and sort that out for us, James. All right, back to the comments. Whenever I hear bantamweight, says Carl, I think of some guy mooting one of those Ford Buckies.
Or just cockfighting, you know, chickens.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll get to see any fights in the streets of Sofia today. I don't think so. People seem to be very friendly. No,
the whole place feels very relaxed. It's super, super relaxed.
Looks like those 3D centerfolds from the U magazine in the 90s, that billboard, according to Bronwyn. Yeah, if you're making an ad for, I don't know, the 2% of people who can't see something, it's really just going to annoy the 98% of people who can.
But that's it. FOMO drives so much.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what's happening there.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that this is the most exciting thing that you could do in advertising, but good for them. At least somebody's looking after the people with colorblindness. I see lots of other comments here. People talking about, I can't hear Leanne. No, well, neither could we. She went off. I think something switched over without her knowing. Sean O'Malley had a cuck night going back to UFC.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you're a fantastic striker like he is, and you've got this bulldog who's basically just dry humping you with malicious intent, it's going to be a tough fight. Styles make fights, and unfortunately, obviously, that style negated his.
Sorry, we were talking about your ad, and then you suddenly went offline.
It was almost like load shedding all over again. Anyway, that ad was commissioned by the Toronto Dominion Bank, TD Bank, and developed by Ogilvy Canada. And it's promoting the TD Accessibility Adapter, which is a free Google Chrome extension that allows users to customize their web browser with a range of enhancements to improve accessibility. So it's like a highly complicated app to try and sell, especially when you've got such a tiny target market. But then why not use something like that? So the red writing reveals to say, if you can see this, we see you.
Okay.
So it helps people, you know, with a whole lot of difficulties in sight. Yeah.
That's nice. I mean, you know, my whole take was, well, why are you just cutting out 98% of people? But for them, it's like, hey, somebody understands my problems. Very good.
Yeah. So that it all these apps are used for reading guides, larger fonts that are more, you know, more friendly for people with dyslexia, various color modes, including monochrome, dark mode, low saturation, and all developed for the bank's own use internally initially, and now it's available to everyone.
Well, we went to this restaurant yesterday in Sofia here, and the lighting was bad. And someone at the table said, are my eyes like fading? Do I have terrible eyesight? Or is it sometimes it's the lighting, but in these cases, you actually have
No, it's probably the lighting, because it's one in six people. Well, I suppose if you were with six people, have a visual impairment or neurodivergence. And that only 3% of the internet is accessible for those people. Imagine being able to see only 3% of the internet. Yeah, and this tool which magically unveils everything. It's amazing.
Arbot says, if you just pop some acid, you'll see a lot of things on that.
I'm sure.
All right. Quickly, two things. The first one is, a lot of people are talking about eating the dogs, eating the cats. Oh, and I saw that the Kiffness put out an excellent video, which is actually, it went wild on the internet. People all over America were retweeting it and sharing it. So the Kiffness, again, just doing an amazing job of taking something that happens in the meme world, turning it into a song. And now I think Trump retweeted it at some point. Oh, wow. I'm not sure, but I think so. So lots of people love his version of eating the dogs, eating the cats, which came from the debate against Kamala Harris. The other big thing in the news, and this is worth discussing, apparently Cristiano Ronaldo went over a billion in terms of social media followers. So this is quite a milestone for him. He's the first person in the world to achieve this feat. It includes his followers on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, as well as Chinese social media platforms. Despite the number not representing individual followers and accounting for fake accounts, that's still a massive achievement. And it draws attention to both media and brands. His presence on YouTube and consistent content creation are also credited for his rapid rise in subscribers compared to his rival, Lionel Messi. And, you know, there's always this conversation about who's the GOAT.
Yeah. So I think it's just another great example of how you can use these mediums so well, and that he saw YouTube as being a great growth area for him. And to his credit, when he started, I think he was the fastest to a million by some distance as far as followers are concerned. But the content's bloody good. So for the last 3 weeks, he's just been releasing all kinds of stuff with high production value. And if this was a channel, like, this is better than most sports content you get on Netflix right now. I'm quite frustrated because I think my business partners were kind of ahead of the curve when we try to do this with more lesser known athletes. But when you are as big as this guy, you can do what you want. You set the stakes, you are the game. And yes, Messi will go down as being a better footballer. But what this guy's doing now is he's cementing his legacy in a time where people remember these kind of things.
What is the you are for? You are Cristiano. Do we know what that stands for?
No, ultra real.
I don't know.
Who knows?
So if anybody knows the answer to that, because his YouTube channel has "You Are" and then Cristiano in it,
it's probably maybe an inside joke. But I mean,
there's a logo and everything.
His girlfriend is heavily featured here, so maybe it's also a profile builder for her.
Yeah, and she's quite cool. She puts up lots of interesting stuff too. The Q&A sessions, and it is very high production. I mean, it's beautifully done. They play games. They've got billboards and buttons and screens all over. His memorabilia is up in the background. It's very clever.
maybe the UI is just like a sub-brand that they're now building, and they're using this because they've got 61.6 million subscribers already on YouTube.
Very cool.
I mean, the last content I saw of Ronaldo's was on TikTok, and there were just these weird, like, self-shot videos of him and his son sitting chatting on a sofa about nothing really. I haven't seen any of this high production stuff because I saw I thought,
Yeah. So again, it comes back to medium, right? So if you're on TikTok, maybe that's the kind of stuff that resonates the most. When you're on YouTube, you're fighting against cinematographers and all these kind of things. So the production has to be different. The stuff's impressive.
Very, very cool. So some of these suggestions here, you are as in Y-O-U-A-R-E. No, it's you are. And he's got a logo for it and everything. So I don't know what it means. Maybe it's something in Spanish that we don't understand.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Anyway, Portuguese.
Portuguese, Spanish, potato, potato. What is it's the same thing? Isn't it just? Isn't Portuguese just Spanish spoken by children?
No, I thought it was Spanish with your mouth full.
Okay, so essentially, sports.com says the U R in you are Cristiano means you are Y-O-U-A-R-E. So it is like that. Okay, so it's like the player. It's like the player telling his fans, "You are Cristiano." Implying that every fan embodies a part of the Portuguese skipper's persona.
Listen, he's got to be one of the coolest people in the world. Just
and most
think about it. He's already had the most epic career ever. He doesn't have to prove anything else in that world. And now on this channel, he's doing all kinds of other sports. He's sitting with his wife and she's answering questions. He's making fun. He's playing games. He's available to his fans. He's doing Q&As. I mean, I think this is just him having an absolute fucking time. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great to see. It's just, and it's done so right. It really is.
Gareth's bribes in Mozambique have doubled. Oh, when I was rude about Portuguese, my bribes have just gone up in Mozambique. Well, luckily I won't be going there anytime soon, so I'm not too worried. who else comes close? I mean,
as a sports kind of person, nothing really pops out. And this is what we've been saying for quite some time. Like, these guys can corner the fan market, not that they need money. And it just means hiring a bit of a team and just being okay with giving some of your time. Because obviously his football career is now at the final stages. He's playing for the Saudi clubs. He still plays for Portugal. He just scored his 900th professional goal. But yeah, it's about having a team. So like in the golfing sense, Bryson DeChambeau is the equivalent of this. His YouTube channel is incredible. He actually played golf with Donald Trump. And that video, I think, got more than – I actually got to find this for you. Because he was trying to get to 1 million followers, and he was on like 800,000. He posted the Trump video. He went to 1.4 million subscribers.
Jesus.
Playing golf with Trump has become a little bit more dangerous since last night.
That's a very good point you make there, Leanne. Yeah, that would be a great follow-up movie. So, yeah, 12 million views he got in this video of playing with Trump.
Unbelievable. And Trump wasn't bad.
He's good.
He's actually quite a good golfer.
Well, he's been playing golf for a very long time. So, yes, he's good.
Okay. So it's just practice makes perfect.
Exactly. Muscle memory, being a winner.
Tremendous.
He's going to say he's tremendous and the greatest.
Unbelievable. Phenomenal golfer. Just the greatest. So good. I'm so good, I don't even try. I have people shooting at me. I'm still winning. It's phenomenal. I'm superb. It's wonderful. Anyway, good for him. So I see Virat Kohli, someone's saying?
No, they're saying Viral Kohli. Or is that an intended
correct? No, you've actually corrected
yourself. That would be quite a funny YouTube channel if you called it that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think he comes close, but we've got, we've got Lionel Messi, obviously chomping at the bit to try and prove he's also famous and important on social media. So, and he is, but just, I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo seems to be doing an amazing job at the moment.
But Virat Kohli could open a YouTube account tomorrow and have 1 billion subscribers straight away.
Easily.
Because India.
Just in India.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a channel because that's not what he wants to do. But it's so easy to do this kind of stuff. It's not like you've got to sit there and go through the comments. Just be present, make a couple of videos. But again, everyone's got different intentions.
Judas says, I speak Portuguese, but because I have a bit of a lisp, I sound Spanish.
That could be confusing.
That could be very
confusing. That's a major problem, huh?
But also, also people with speech impediments often have the most unfortunate names, like Judas's would be Judith.
Yes, yes, that's correct, actually. I thought of it now. That's a very good point. So Judith, I mean, that's how people pronounce it, with a J-U-D-I-C-I-T-H, as opposed to C-E. Yeah. Very good.
Changing the complete meaning of your name.
All right, so Leanne, you have a story for us about marmosets that have a special skill. Marmosets, obviously, is little monkey type. It's almost like a half monkey, half rodent that people keep as pets. They have a skill that they only have in common with dolphins, elephants, and us.
Yes, who'd have known?
You share a skill with a marmoset, a dolphin.
Full of surprises, these little simians, they're called. But yes, according to a new study, members of marmoset troops call each other by names. And that's only ever been documented in three famously brainy animals: elephants, dolphins, and humans. So they use these specific vocalizations called phee calls, P-H-E-E, phee calls, to identify and communicate with each other. So they've got this entire naming system. When you hear a specific, you know, triple syllable peep, then you know it's you. But that's they actually name each other.
James, go back to that picture that you showed just now of that marmoset. That's Amanda, isn't it?
Yes.
So they have names just like us.
That's Amanda, yeah.
Okay, I thought it was
amazing.
And then the next one.
It's a baby. Show us.
Isn't that Tyrone? I think that's Tyrone. Yes. I think it is.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a Tyrone, maybe. I don't know.
That is Tyrone. Don't countermand me on this, Leanne. You just don't remember him.
But this is apparently really not a trivial finding. It's something quite amazing because it's really rare. So I didn't know that elephants named each other, but they do.
Wow. But elephants.
Doesn't surprise me with dolphins, but elephants, I didn't know that.
Elephants also have a very good memory, and supposedly they can remember when last they walked a certain path, even if it was a decade ago. They remember where certain trees are. They remember where other elephants have died. They remember all kinds of useful information. And apparently they can hold a hell of a grudge for a very long time, you know, because their memory is so good. They just keep a huge number of grudges. It's like, oh, there's that goddamn Daphne again. You know, that Daphne, she's always got such a bad attitude. Last time I saw her near Shingwetsi was probably, I don't know, 1989, and that bitch has not improved.
Also, anyone who's ever worked in the circus shouldn't visit elephants who've been rescued, because they'll recognize them.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah. Carl DeSantis saying that fee calls sounds like fecal.
Yeah, it does, actually.
Shit, man.
That's terrible. Michael John asks a very good question about that news story from earlier. Did Trump finish his round of golf after they found the shooter? Well, I remember when he got shot in the air at that Bedford rally, which was not that long ago. I mean, it feels like an age because the news cycle's so quick. But it was, 2 months ago that Trump was shot in the air? And the very next day...
It was actually 3 months ago, yeah.
3 months, no, okay. The very next day, he was basically back on the golf course.
Yeah, I think it was up to him. He probably would have finished, but no doubt the Secret Service would have swarmed in. Pew, pew, pew. And then they would have taken him out, as in taking him home.
How?
I wonder if that woman's there again, going pew, 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 pew. You
know, the fat bodyguard.
The fat woman, yeah.
I don't know. They seem to have changed most of them out.
Dropped a corn dog and ran to the golf course. Pew, pew, pew.
Okay, so basically, Leanne, that story of yours, to go back to that for a second, these animals all have names.
Mm.
And we thought we were the only species that gave each other names.
No, and they've even got these different dialects as well, these localized dialects. So if you find them in different countries, they'll even speak differently. So it's amazing.
Very, very good. I wouldn't ever have guessed. I mean, thank God I remember some of the names of some of the animals I've met, because it's so embarrassing, you know, when you bump into them at a cocktail party and you're like, hey, how are you? It's so nice to see you, Amanda. It is Amanda, isn't it?
But you think about people who have these animals as pets, which they shouldn't have. Imagine we give them names and they probably think, you stupid person. I'm actually, my name's actually Dingle or Dingbat.
Yeah. Well, or what fecal.
Yeah.
Terrible. I do agree with Carl. That's a terrible, terrible word, a descriptor for that.
Fecal.
All right. So our plan is, Ben says that we're going to go and do some training, and then we'll have some breakfast and then head out into the streets of Sofia.
That's going to be a really, really great day. There's a nice hotel gym here. We're going to have some honey with breakfast to sustain us into much walking. It's not the biggest city. You know, if you go to these big European cities, you'll walk all day and go nowhere. I think we'll cover it today.
Yeah.
I've got a plan, and we'll have
plans to go outside of Sofia.
Only on the Wednesday.
We drive to Plavets.
And we're actually taking, we're doing almost like a Top Gear type drive. They've hired a bunch of different cars, most of them cars that we wouldn't get in South Africa.
Well, yeah, it's Eastern European cars. So it's going to be like a strange sort of...
The fire extinguishers, of course.
Do you know what side of the road they drive on?
It's to the other side.
Oh, shit.
Because I almost got knocked down yesterday because I looked the wrong way on the road.
Now.
They're all left-hand drive cars. Yep. Although they're going to be they're quite vintage, these cars. So they could be all over the place. But we're driving 40 minutes in these cars in a Peaky Blinders outfit because we're all dressing up. So it's going to be quite the thing. That'll go into the tourism video.
Yeah, absolutely.
This tourism video is going to be a hit.
Yeah.
Is smiling allowed in the tourism video?
Yes, because there's a bit asterisk saying paid professionals, do not try at home.
Do not try smiling in your own house.
By yourself.
Yeah. You could hurt facial muscles and have to go for surgery.
Paid actors know how to have fun. Do not try this yourself.
and the Peaky Blinders outfits, we've got that sorted.
But the funny thing about that, Gareth, is we've already seen four people that just dress like that normally here. So,
it might not be a dress up. They might look at us and think, oh, these guys are dressed very nicely.
Contemporary fashion. Yeah.
You didn't need to pack that costume. You could have just bought it in the normal clothing store once you were there.
Yeah, I've got like a shirt with, collered shirt, a waistcoat, and like Peaky Blinders type hat. But I have no idea what I'm going to wear for the disco night.
Well, again, we could probably find some stuff today out shopping with our levs. Our
Bulgarian levs.
Bulgarian levs.
We're going to get Bulgarian lev. I bring you some coins back, Leanne. Lucky you. I throw some few coins your way. You will be able to afford mansion in Houghton and Johannesburg.
Sure.
somebody says if you're going to drive a Trabant, you'll need a fire extinguisher. Slippery pickle.
I don't think any of the cars will go very fast on Wednesday. We'll just be in them.
I want to drive a Lada. I really do. Like that fucking Russian communist car, the Lada. Isn't there a pedophile van as well?
Of course there will be. But isn't the Lada like the communist Volvo?
Yeah. A Lada. It's not a great car.
I just Googled it now, and it's exactly what came up in my head.
Yes,
I was just thinking of a square boxy.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And I don't know if it even has a left or right hand, because it doesn't look like it's big enough to fit more than one person in the front anyway.
And it's always in some movie going, you know, bouncing over cobbled streets.
Usually the bad guy who drives it.
That's
what I want. I want to drive one of those. And they'll think we're time travelers from the future. It's not that bad.
But I think there was actually a Top Gear thing where they drove Eastern European cars, terrible ones.
Yes.
And they did a full-on tour with that. I think that's when they first started doing those tours.
Yeah, I would be very excited to do that, actually. I'm going to see if I can put this picture up for you of the Lada. It's a 1984 one.
Yeah, so that's still quite racy.
Perfect, yeah, it's very racy, yeah. Looking forward to that. And how long, 40 kilometers, you said?
Yeah, okay. Down to Plavets.
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 Very good. The thing we didn't discuss much of, I think there was quite a lot of noise about this on social media, but not Pravets, but Pravin. I think Pravin Gordhan was laid to rest, and still lots of people on social media saying how wonderful he was. And I'm amazed always by South Africans and their absolute hypocrisy on this. There was not a person saying nice things about Pravin Gordhan about 6 weeks ago. Not a fucking person. And I can go and look and I can prove this. And now they're all holier than thou. Oh, Pravin, you made such a contribution to South Africa. I just have no time for these people. And really, we should just be shaming them publicly. They are absolute lying hypocrites of the worst order. Mm. So I have nothing more to say to them than that. Here's the larder, Leanne. That's what we're talking about.
Beautiful. Look at those lines.
Isn't that great?
Look at those wheels.
So sleek, so futuristic.
So I'll drive this to Pravin.
And not... And usually there'd be someone in it with like a wide brimmed hat, and he's spying on someone else, obviously sitting outside a window having a cigarette.
But if you notice how the windows are open, because the cigarette will always be on.
Yes,
always. So that's why the windows don't actually go up, because you have to be smoking. And I'm also, if you don't mind going back there, Gareth, I'm amazed that the bonnet isn't more easily accessible, because it goes open a lot. Because understanding why it's not working,
it breaks down.
Yeah. Maybe there's a
quick release handle, I'm sure. Ben also reminded me.
Plenty of space in the boot for a body or two.
Yes.
Yes. But that's why I'm excited to be driving one. And this will be my favorite car for the trip. I don't care what everyone else is driving. They could have sports cars, vintage cars. I want a Lada. That's all I want. Where else in my life am I going to get a chance to drive a good old communist car like this? And by the way, Ben reminded me that here in Bulgaria, on planes, when they warn you, you know, the mask drops, please put your own mask on before attaching it for a child. Here in Bulgaria, you're encouraged to light your children's cigarettes before you light your own. We've seen a couple of 11-year-olds, you know, on the street corner having a draw. It's very, very exciting. Actually, there's a Bulgarian flag right outside our hotel here.
Oh, it's getting busy all of a sudden.
Yeah, there's people walking on the streets. Let's show you some of this. Very action, very much action on street.
Rush hour.
Oh, there you go. So that's the Bulgarian flag there with the red, white,
that's
green,
right,
and red.
Yeah. The green and white and red. Yeah. Very exciting.
Maybe we should skip Jim and do that later and just go straight to the streets. It looks interesting out there.
No, I don't think we can skip Jim. I can't afford to get fat.
Yeah, but we're going to walk a lot.
Yeah. Oh no. I've got my watch on, counting my steps. It's going to be very exciting. That's one of the things I didn't do on previous trips. And you know, you've got that health app which counts it automatically. I was doing like 12,000 steps a day minimum.
Incredible.
And that's one of the things that's nice about traveling, especially to a country where you can walk. You don't have to drive everywhere. Where it's not very, very shit in terms of being cold or hot or huge distances. And it's actually one of the nicest things about traveling. Slippery Pickle says 11-year-olds on the streets. Shouldn't they be in the mine by now?
So we're actually in a very nice part of the city, so maybe about 10 kilometers away, that could be true.
In mountain. Yeah. In mountain.
Head towards hills. See scary things.
Dan Corder is behind all the pro-Pravin comments. Oh, really? Is that what's going on? So at least he's found a purpose. He certainly wasn't fucking good at media. At least a Lada would have come first against a taxi in South Africa. No way.
No ways.
A taxi would easily beat a Lada. First of all, our taxis are in perfect working order compared to most Ladas.
Is even the ones with banners instead of steering wheels.
Yeah. Is vaping a thing here? I don't know. Have you seen any?
So someone made a good comment earlier in the first hour about Barbaros's wife / girlfriend, whatever. She was under the blankets in the airplane because she was vaping.
Maybe. Very good point. Could have been it. Isn't Bulgaria the original home of the bearded ladies that performed? Yes, indeed, yep. Tracy. That is correct. It's something that we had not thought of. Maybe we should be looking for that today. Gareth and Ben, you're going to be arrested in front of us before the end of the show. Possibly. By the way, we have also been told that you should not take photographs of certain government buildings.
Yeah.
For fear of being arrested.
Oh.
Yeah. Have you been to the church in Sofia? It's incredible. Yeah, we actually spoke about that in the first hour. Is there tons of crime, says Rebellious Ruth. Well, we were warned, but actually very disappointingly, you know, it's like when people come to South Africa, they're always warned about the crime.
Yeah.
And then we live in South Africa and we don't think, you know, every day, oh, got to watch pickpockets and all that stuff. Obviously, that we were warned about that. But honestly, we even went into a few sort of, what would you call them? Subways. Overpasses, subways. Not even very much urine smell.
It's like zero urine. Yeah. Again, it was a nice pause.
Very, very good. So actually, I would say at this point, Bulgaria get 10 out of 10. There is a market full of Nazi memorabilia on a Sunday. Well, embarrassing for Bulgaria during the Second World War, they did back the other side. Yes, so, you know, a couple of things here that are not so great. The king of Bulgaria, remember I mentioned earlier that there was a king up to just a short while ago in Bulgaria. Do you know what his surname is?
Lada.
No, no. The king of Bulgaria's surname is exactly the same surname as Prince Charles's real surname, which is Saxe-Coburg-Gotha.
Hmm.
So actually a German.
Are they related?
Yes. Yeah, they are related. And let me tell you, his name is Simeon. King Simeon II. He speaks excellent English, French, German, Italian, and Spanish, and is an independent user of Arabic and Portuguese. So that's a lot of languages that King Simeon speaks.
Why would they not just add those two to his languages rather than say independent user? Because
I don't know, maybe
a very weird way of, looks like John Robbie.
He does look a bit like John Robbie. I'll send you a picture of that just in a moment so you can see that on the screen too. But King Simeon of the House of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, he's the king of Bulgaria, or king of the Bulgarians, they say now, not king of Bulgaria. You want to see what he looks like, Leanne? Maybe your kind of guy. Maybe this is the husband you've always wanted. This is perhaps the husband you've always wanted, Leanne.
Well, he can give you some jewelry, Leanne, because after you got ripped off, he seems to have a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. Bit old for you.
Very decorated, but yeah, very old.
Yeah. But there he is, King Simeon of Bulgaria. So now you've learned something you didn't know about him before. You want us to look out for anything in particular? You always have some special request on these trips.
I'm really interested now to try Bulgarian wine.
Okay.
I've never considered it. Every time I've tried wines in Europe, I've never seen like a Bulgarian wine section. So yeah, I think.
Well, there was a rosé yesterday, Leanne, that was getting many, many approvals.
Hmm.
Rosé all day, comments, in the middle of the day.
Any comments on Bulgarian fashion?
It's all quite nice so far. Again, like we've just got a good snapshot of the city. I think as we get further out, we'll see more of it though. Because you go to most cities in the world, everything is quite standardized. But I think we'll see more as we dig a little bit deeper.
I was going to say, are you guys going to stand out as tourists? And then I remembered what Gareth was wearing.
Yeah, I think this will kind of make me look like
I'm a tourist.
Also, I have a camera to shoot tourism video, so I will.
Yeah, it's definitely tourists.
Yeah,
and we'll be smiling, of course, which you know, you don't smile.
And it's impossible to travel with Gareth and not laugh about stuff. I mean, the two of us walk around like we basically on like mushrooms. It's really, really funny.
Carl DeSantis says he does not look like John Robbie. That is hilarious. No. He does look like John Robbie, a bad version of John Robbie, but yes. I think he does.
Okay, maybe a little, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
He absolutely looks like John Robbie, but obviously not an old, messed up one.
All right, Rebellious Ruth says, what is their national dish? Well, you're in luck. I've actually done some research on this.
Yeah, so they do eat quite a lot of horse. And again, one of the things you need to watch out for is going to places where they feed you the horse. But they also have rakia with that, which does soften horse meat.
So here's a list of their favorite dishes. And then I took the liberty of crossing off the ones that I will not be having. So here we go. So here are some banitsa, which is baked pastry with layers of phyllo dough, eggs, and cheese. It sounds almost a bit like almost like spanakopita in Greece.
Yeah.
And there is a relationship because, you know, Bulgaria is not that far from Greece. You can go straight from Greece into Bulgaria. They share a border.
Yeah. So you'll probably have like a lot of Turkish and Greek-inspired food there.
Definitely. A shopska salad To me, this sounds like a Greek salad, right? Fresh salad, tomatoes, cucumber, onions, peppers, and feta cheese. I mean, you know, put in some olives, you've got a Greek salad.
You'd actually really enjoy that, I think.
Here, tarator, you know what that is, Leanne? Of course you do.
Of course I do. It's a lovely dessert.
Yes, a cold yogurt-based soup with cucumber, garlic, and dill.
That actually sounds like a tzatziki. Very similar to tzatziki.
It does a little bit. And then patatnik. You know patatnik, Ben?
No.
No, not even from your Polish relatives?
Fish roe, perhaps?
No, patatnik.
Beetroot.
Grated potato, or in French, potato au gratin. And that is often baked and served with yogurt.
Ah.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, it's like a jacket potato with sour cream.
Kebachpe, or something like that, is Greek minced meat sausages, typically served with fries and salad. But as Ben says, beware of horse.
Okay? I imagine horse is quite stringy.
Oh.
I don't know.
It'd be very tough, very muscular animals.
Rakia is their traditional strong fruit brandy, which is often made from grapes. And it's apparently very, very strong, like ouzo.
Yes. No, okay. Not to be had.
No, like, I'm not having... like we heard before, it'll put hair on your tits.
That's right. And then there's, of course, the famous liutenitsa, which is a pepper and tomato relish commonly used as a spread or dip. Didn't you try some of that last night?
It's very nice, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. That was good.
And then there's boza, which sounds like it should be a South African thing from the township. Yes. Hey, you want some boza? Anyway, boza is fermented wheat drink with a thick, creamy texture and a slightly sour taste.
Well, that's like the original mkombozi.
Yeah. So boza, mkombozi, boza. Maybe there's some Bulgarians that are involved in that.
A very good question here from Bitcoin Put. What would be the best cut from a horse if you were to eat horse?
Probably the same as the best cut from a cow. It would be the rump.
Do you get a horse ribeye?
You probably could. You know what horse leather is called when they use horse leather to make things? Cordovan. Cordovan. And that comes from Cordoba in Spain. And they make shoes out of cordovan. You can buy some very good...
That's maybe what Barbaros' slippers were made out of.
Maybe Barbaros slippers.
Okay, now it's all coming together. We're all going to look very different.
He probably has an actual pair of horse hooves as well that he clippity-clops around with.
Probably. They are used to make very cheap, delicious Bulgarian pinotage wine that they... They used to be delicious Bulgarian pinotage wine at Pick and Pay in the 90s in Cape Town, says Michelle. Goodness.
Very specific.
Oh, how could it be Bulgarian pinotage? Because pinotage is South African.
I think Michelle's making it up. I think Michelle's trying to get in on the action here, but she's got a half-baked story. And she's
already potting the pinotage this morning.
The flashbacks.
Michelle, you were just drinking so much that you read Bulgarian, but it actually said
Maybe she bought a bottle of Chateau Libertas and brought it home in the rain, and it had just smudged the label.
Horse would be all right if you tied it down like veal, yes. Says Slippery Pickle.
Yeah, because they use their muscles a lot to get around. They're not lazy like cows.
That's why Ben reckons they might be stringy. The fillet of horse differs depending on the size of the rider. Perhaps, John Bad Dog says, Mavrud is the wine that you must go for, similar to Malbec. Sorry. Deep red oxblood type wine. Sounds good.
I still haven't worked out how there's been a lot of novelty alcohol products. How they can't have a wine in the Cape called Malbec, but there's a space between the L and the B.
Mm.
And then there's like a Skelemochi with no front teeth.
Hey, speaking of Skelemochis, Leanne, do you know that they released Najwa Peterson the other day?
Oh, really? Najwa?
No, she's out on bail, so you oaks in the flats must watch the fuck out. That's Skelemochi's back on the loose, and she's ready to murder her next husband. So,
she's been receiving training in jail, so... Oh.
So look
out. She's got a few tattoos now, too.
Seriously, I heard from a friend of mine that Skelemochi's on the loose again. So look out for Najwa Peterson, all right?
Oh, will do. Maybe it's safer in Bulgaria.
Exactly. That's what, she was the Skelemochi of Skelemochis. That word was like seldom used.
Yara the bits say for Talipra for Moor.
Goodness me.
Yeah, wow. Very bad. Oh, nice. Azalea just making it more local for us. They eat donkey and olifant's hook. That's always nice to hear. Do they eat horse brains there? Vincent, what the fuck is wrong with you?
If there's that soup made of animals' guts, then I'm telling you they eat horses' brains as well.
I've eaten horse
brains. We eat donkey brains here and cow brains.
Yeah, and Mohodu's got sheep brains in it. Mm. Stephen says, I've eaten horse before in Holland. Very common there. Steak was very tender. Listen, you were still like all the people who are upset, and I don't get this from the comment section, who clearly are very experimental with food.
Yeah.
There's lots of real experience going on here. But I will say that people who are all upset and sensitive about what we eat, just remember, chances are your ancestors had to eat a whole lot of terrible stuff just to survive. They didn't go down to the local restaurant and get some flambéed fillet steak. They probably ate whatever was at hand, and it could have been fish or fowl or who knows. You know, we think that everybody had gourmet meals back in the 1300s.
Or shops.
No, you just ate whatever you could. Sometimes it was an old bit of hoof. Scrape the bit of hoof out, and then that's what you got for supper. Boil it until there's nothing left.
A slippery pickle makes a good comment there. If you're a person that eats pies, you are eating zebra daily. You're eating giraffe. You're eating gemsbok. So that's, you're eating animals that you might not think. Basically, you're eating half of the cast of Madagascar if you eat pies.
Leanne, you were saying something, but I do want to quickly go back to the airport. We saw in the airport at the boarding gate, where I don't think there's a lot of like fresh concessions brought, because it's a hell of a security process to get through there. Pies in a display case. They looked like they'd been there for 3-4 weeks.
Easily. Oh, the sausage rolls even more so.
Yeah. You know, when they start to lift
and get a bit
like stingray.
Well, they've been under that artificial light for so long. The pastry is now like morphed into just the saddest thing ever. It's so dry. It's just gone.
Sean says Spurs, I think you mean Spur, sold horse meat for years. No one knew any better. Good meat, says Sean. Sean, you can't say that. That's horse.
So that was the taste for life, huh?
Who knows? I think he's making it up. After you eat horse, your throat can become quite dry and coffee. Oh, wow. Some parts in Africa eat bats and monkeys. Sure, of course.
I've eaten bat.
You've eaten bat?
Why?
Tell us more, Leanne.
The Seychelles. I ate bat. It was delicious. I had a bat for lunch.
You old bat.
Wow. Okay. Well, we've all discovered something new this morning. And just wrapping it up, the Spurs selling horse story is real. It happened in Somerset West in the early mid-90s.
You could go for – the 90s were great. Hey? You can go for a Bulgarian pinotage and a horse meat at the Spur. What a time.
All right, everybody. That's a wrap on this morning. I hope you have an awesome week. We will be back here on Wednesday. Don't miss the appointment, 6 a.m. bright and early. Thank you for joining us. If you joined us live on YouTube this morning for some of the sights and sounds, we'll have a whole lot more. And some guests on the show on Wednesday morning, too. So we'll be doing it from one of the big rooms in the hotel here. We're gonna have
Your room's actually a decent studio.
Not bad. Listen.
We've got a nice view.
Listen, this is a very nice hotel. I'll tell you what. Ben and I arrived here in Bulgaria thinking we'd just have things to mock and make fun of. And yes, there are those.
There are those things.
But we've also seen quite a lot already that gives us a very optimistic approach to the rest of today. And we will be exploring and posting plenty of stuff, too. So stick with us for that. Thank you for joining us this morning. And Leanne, thank you for joining us all the way from your house. And we will see you on Wednesday. Cheers, everybody. Bye.